Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 3, The Meeting House of God. The Abiding Principles for this Session. Hebrews 10:25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His, Christ's, return is drawing near. 1 Timothy 3:14 through 15. I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the house of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Introduction to Session 3, The Meeting House of God. My earliest memories are centered on what was happening at the local church. By the time I was 3 years old, I remember standing on a chair behind a pulpit, quoting Psalm 100 for the audience. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home in which we tried to keep Christ at the center of our family, and the local church was understood to be a vital part of our Christian faith. It wasn't always like that for my folks. My dad grew up in the home of a faithful Methodist family. They took him to church each and every Sunday. When he reached 18 years old, he vowed that he would never go back to church again. By the time he was 26 years of age, all that changed. For the first time in his life, he became serious about pursuing a relationship with God and gave his heart and life to Christ. He followed the Lord in believer's baptism, deciding to become a true and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. About that time, a pastor challenged him with a thought along these lines: "If you will pay the price to be faithful to church, I will pay the price to faithfully study the Scriptures and try to teach you what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ." Dad, eager to know the Bible better, took him up on that challenge. My mom was already committed to the idea, and they started going to church faithfully. I came into the world just a few years later, and I was reared in church. My folks became thoroughly convinced of the importance of the local church, and they did not let anything get in the way of faithfully attending the meeting house of God. To this day, I remain firmly committed to the local church with the same kind of understanding that my folks had. Born-again believers thrive in the setting of a local church where the Bible is taught and practiced. Sadly, we are not experiencing that kind of commitment as a normal way of life. We live in a land where churches are everywhere, yet faithful attendance no longer seems to be a priority for many people, even people who claim to be born again. Among these, it seems that church attendance is viewed as an extracurricular activity to participate in when convenient, rather than a vitally important aspect of one's spiritual well-being. Perhaps this lack of commitment comes from a lack of understanding. I sure hope so. I believe that if a person truly discovers what God intended for them in a local church setting, it will change their priorities and make them eager for the next worship service or activity. I truly pray that this session will open your understanding to the kind of church that Christ intended when he gave his life on the cross to bring the New Testament church into existence. With that understanding, perhaps you will come to believe with all your heart that the local church should be at the center of your commitment to Jesus Christ. We are reading today from the Bible text, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies! I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Now to discuss the Bible text. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a land where there was no church? Evidently, the psalmist writing our text in Psalm 84 was in this type of situation. Due to circumstances beyond his control, he was unable to attend worship because there was not a sanctuary where he was dwelling. In this psalm, he affirms the importance of God's house and expresses his sincere desire to once again meet God in worship and work alongside other believers. Our text serves as a foundation for discussion of the importance of God's house, launching us into some New Testament passages to form a better understanding of the New Testament church and how it is beneficial to a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 1, an orientation to the meeting house of God or the local church. Capital A, the value of the church. A twofold definition of the term church should be considered. There is the church universal, designated in this session by church with a capital C, that includes all born-again believers who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination. Often the scriptures refer to such as the church or the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 12-13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The local church is a visible assembly of this greater church, where believers associate themselves in an accountable fashion for the purpose of knowing Christ and making Christ known. Each local church represents the shared value of what Christ has invested in the church. Christ has given himself for the church. Christ founded the church. Ephesians 5:25-26. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Christ leads the church. Colossians 1:18. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. Christ has given of his heart to the church. The Holy Spirit. Acts 9:31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. The Holy Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Pastors and teachers to equip the church. Ephesians 4:12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Deacons and leaders to serve the church. We invite you to read Acts 6:1 through 7 for more information. Talents for believers to use within the church. Ephesians 4:7. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Christ has commissioned the church to continue His work on earth, His ministry. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. John 20:21b. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus often spoke of His mission in terms of planting and harvesting. Jesus came from heaven and planted the seeds of salvation and healing, investing much in the good crop of souls that are still being born again. We are continuing to sow the seed of God's Word, and that seed is still bringing forth a harvest, the souls of people being born again by God's wondrous grace. For the sake of illustration, let's suppose for a moment that you were a farmer who had invested much in planting a large crop. Just before harvest, you were seriously injured. After surgery, you were confined to a rehab center for 6 to 8 weeks for therapy and recovery. This made it completely impossible to harvest your crop, so you called in a favor. You asked a friend to kindly harvest the crop. Well, let's suppose that friend went over to your farm, intending to reap the harvest as agreed. Yet along the way, he or she got distracted by other things they felt they could do to help improve your farm. They repainted the barn, fixed up the house, and landscaped the yard, but never got around to getting in the crop. It all went to waste. Can you imagine coming home to find the crop ruined in the field? As much as you would be thankful for your friend's kindness around the farm place, you would be very disappointed that he or she failed to accomplish the primary and most important task. The purpose of Jesus' ministry was to reach the least, the lost, and the last. As you follow the life of Christ in the Gospels, you find Jesus reaching out to people everywhere. Then, Jesus gave His life so that all of us might be forgiven and reconciled to God. He was crucified on a cross, was buried and rose again. That is the good news of salvation. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, He gave us the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. We are to share the good news and continue Jesus' work. The church was organized for this express purpose. That is what makes the church so valuable. We are continuing Jesus' ministry of redemption and reconciliation. Sadly, so many Christians have forgotten that mission and have become focused on many other things that may be important, but not nearly as important as reaching people with the gospel. Christ clearly told the church to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Mark 16:15. Isn't that mission the very reason that we participate in a local church? Isn't it true that we can do a much better job working together than working alone? Capital B, the vision of the local church. We should go to church for the right reasons. The elements of a biblical vision for our local church were taught by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4:11-13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Therefore, our local church is for the purpose of believers growing in their faith toward maturity, believers doing the work of the ministry, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. We are witnesses for Christ. We are also working with Christ, believers building up each member. We need mutual encouragement and fellowship. Galatians 6, 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. We need unity around the common goals we share in Christ. Ephesians 4, 3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Believers worshiping God and bringing honor to Christ. If we are not careful, we might attend church for the wrong reasons. Some come because it is good for business. They might ask, "What is in the church for me?" Some come because they enjoy a good show. They might ask, "I wonder if everyone is having a good time." Some come to keep up appearances. They might ask, "What does everyone think of me?" Some come to preserve traditions. They might ask, "Why are we changing?" Instead of attending church for the wrong reasons, we should be seeking to please Christ. We should be willing to set aside ourselves for the cause of Christ. Our question should be, "What can I do to continue Jesus' work?" We should be surrendered to Christ and His gospel. We should be asking ourselves, "Are we ready for Jesus to return?" We should be growing in our faith. A good question is, "Are we making progress in our Christian lives?" We should be seeking wisdom and power from Christ to continue His work. We should be asking, "How can I learn more of Christ so that I may be more effective in serving others?" Roman numeral 2. The operation of the meeting house of God, or the local church. Capital A. Once we have a biblical vision in mind, we are then able to understand the local church's vocation, often referred to as its mission. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This text gives us a fourfold mission as a local church of the living Christ. Our goals should be providing a stable environment for believers to grow in the faith of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Establishing a testimony for the Lord by living out our faith in our day-to-day lives. Seeking to please Christ in everything we do. Reaching out to our community with the love of Christ in both word and deed. Seeking to include others in our fellowship. Capital B. The mission of the church has always been accomplished by the participation of volunteers. Philippians 2, 2. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Volunteers in mission together, agreeing wholeheartedly about the goals above. Volunteers motivated by love for each other. Volunteers working together with a mind of humility. Volunteers never losing sight of our purpose to carry on Jesus' work. Roman numeral 3. The officers discussed in the Bible for the meeting house of God, or the local church. Please note, Treasurers, trustees, teachers, moderators, chairpersons, committee members, these are some of the many leaders within the local church. All of these positions are very important to the smooth operation of a local church. In addition to the leaders of a local church, leadership positions at the district and/or denominational level are also vital to the health and support of local congregations. With that said, we must be clear that many of these positions have been created by churches and/or denominations in order to organize and operate within a cultural context. Not to say that these officers and leaders are not biblical. That is not the case at all. 1 Corinthians 14:40 instructs us to be sure that everything is done properly and in order. The polity of the church, or its organizational methodology that calls upon various leaders to take responsibility in well-defined ways, ensures an orderly organization. For the sake of this Bible study, however, we are going to focus on the two leadership positions that the New Testament has clearly defined for us, the pastor and the deacons or deaconesses. These officers, operating according to God's intent, are necessary for a local church to function properly. Capital A. The scripture gives us a two-sided picture of the pastor's position, using three titles to describe the function of the office. The administrative function of the pastor is described by the following two titles. Elder. This speaks of the spiritual authority given to the pastor by nature of the position and calling of God. 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. The title of elder is not expressive of physical age, but denotes one who has been brought to a place of leadership in the local church by the selection and calling of God. Further, this title, elder, emphasizes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Acts 20:28. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, His church purchased with His own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. Bishop. This speaks of the practical function God has given the pastor in relationship to the church. The title bishop could also be translated overseer or manager. Administratively, the pastor has the responsibility to God to see that the physical affairs of the church are managed properly. The ministerial function of the pastor is described by the title shepherd or pastor. Pastor. This speaks of the spiritual gift of a shepherd's heart, or that of what we commonly refer to as the heart of a pastor. This spiritual gift is the enablement of the Holy Spirit for the pastor to be able to shepherd or care for the flock of God. Capital B. The other office of the local church described in Scripture is that of deacon or deaconess. 1 Timothy 3:13. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for this office carries the idea of one who serves. In Strong's Concordance, diakonos is probably from an obsolete diako, to run on errands, an attendant, a waiter at a table or in other menial duties, especially a Christian teacher and pastor, technically a deacon or deaconess. Deacons were appointed in Acts 6 for this purpose. The deacon body serves the church alongside the pastor to help bring unity and harmony within the local church. The deacon body should be men and women of complete dedication to Christ's work. In conclusion, I like the sign that I see sometimes on church signs. CH, blank blank, CH. What is missing? You are. There are a lot of people who are missing when the church assembles. Many of them are professing believers in Christ. What is the problem? Why are they not in church? When I have asked questions like these of Christians who are out of church, many times they have talked about various difficulties they have experienced with people who are in church. They talk about hypocrites in the church. They talk about power struggles. They talk about people taking advantage of them, pastors who have disappointed them, and so forth. These things happen, but I want you to see a common theme in what these folks have said. These people have lost sight of Christ and the real reasons we have been called by Christ to be part of the church assembled. Believe me, I have been there as well, so I don't judge anyone. Even so, I am grateful for those who have continually pointed me to Christ. People disappoint, but Christ will never fail us. If you have lost faith in the church, would you look carefully at Hebrews 12:1-4 in your Bible? The only way that we can stay faithful to serving Christ in the local church is by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Hebrews 12:2. In summary, every born-again believer should belong to a local church that is operating according to God's design. Acts 2:47b. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Every church member should volunteer to help accomplish the mission of the church. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Every church member should be faithful to attend as many of the services and/or activities as possible. Hebrews 10:25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. The place where we meet God, our local church, is a possible place of spiritual blessing for your life as well. If Christ is calling you to attend, we would like to invite you to come, and even consider joining our church. This will be a mutual blessing. You will be blessed because you have made a commitment to Jesus through a local church, but also your presence will be a blessing to us. We would certainly love to have you. Even so, if our church is not the place where Christ would have you to attend, we pray that God will guide you to a local church that will be the focal point of your commitment to Jesus Christ. The important thing is to find a place where you can assemble with God's people. The church is not the physical building or location, but it is the people of God assembled for the purposes we have discussed in this session. The Apostle Paul reminds us, we are members of God's family. Together we are His house. From Ephesians 2:19-20. When you are not present, someone in the family of God is missing, and the church suffers from your absence. Don't give up. There is a wonderful church family out there somewhere just waiting for you. It will be a wonderful place where you can serve Jesus and feel right at home. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. The author mentioned a fourfold vision of the local church. Based upon these four things, please write a vision statement for the church where you would want to belong. Some people say that you don't have to go to church in order to worship God. Is that true? Is there any reason that we should actually be part of a church assembly? Why not just watch church on TV? Please explain your answer. Please discuss what is most important to you about your relationship with a pastor. If you could change one thing about the church or churches you have been associated with, what would it be? Please explain your idea. What would you say to a person who has dropped out of church because of some disappointment they encountered at church? How would you encourage them to get involved again? Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you will get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you are not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, Please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.